Good evening. It's always very interesting to get a chance to talk to people, to know people a little bit better, and to find out their background and where they came from. I remember the shock, really, that I experienced the first time that I learned that the preacher that was at our congregation as I was growing up, before he became a preacher, was a private investigator. And the only reason why I found that, the only reason why he ended up doing that was he loved the show Magnum P.I. so much. And I had known him for, 20-some odd years, and I was just so shocked to find this out. But it began to make sense why some of the lessons that he preached felt so personal to me. He was good at finding dirt on all of us, it sounds like. We all have our different backgrounds. We have all come from different places, and we have different things that have made us who we are in this life. But no matter who you talk to, typically somebody will say the same thing. You need to kind of remember where you came from. In the 31st chapter of Ezekiel, God, through the prophet Ezekiel, is making a prophecy to the land of Egypt and to Pharaoh. And he's giving them a warning. And in doing so, he gives a description of a nation who did exactly what we're talking about this evening. They forgot where they came from, or specifically, who brought them there. Ezekiel chapter 31, starting in verse 1. In the 11th year, in the third month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom are you like in your greatness? Behold, Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon, with beautiful branches and forest shade, and of towering height, its top among the clouds. The waters nourished it. The deep made it grow tall, making its rivers flow around the place of its planting, sending forth its streams to all the trees of the field. So it towered high above all the trees of the field. Its boughs grew large and its branches long, from abundant waters in its shoots. All the birds of the heavens made their nest in its boughs. Under its branches, all the beasts of the field gave birth to their young, and under its shadow lived all great nations. It was beautiful in its greatness, its length of its branches, for its roots went down to abundant waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not rival it, nor the fir trees equal its boughs. Neither were the plane trees like its branches. No tree in the garden of God was equal in beauty. I made it beautiful, and the mass of its branches and all the trees of Eden envied it that were in the garden of God. So we have here Ezekiel, who is describing this nation of Assyria, and he's doing so by describing them as this tree. And he talks about three factors about Assyria in which they are all at this point excelling in. Their size, their greatness in that aspect. He pictures them as this towering tree, towering in height with its branches high up in the clouds. And the nation of Assyria was extremely huge at this point. They were not just a nation at this point, but they were an empire that stretched all the way from Babylon over to, really, Israel. They'd already taken over Israel at this point. He describes the beauty of this nation in verse 7. It was beautiful in its greatness. Now, what is Ezekiel talking about here? Is he talking about the beauty of this nation as in terms of their power, or the beauty in terms of their riches and their wealth, the beauty in terms of the beauty of their cities? Probably a little bit of all of it. He also talks about the life that was within this nation. He talks about all of the nations within its branches. He talks about all the birds of the heavens within its branches, all of the animals within its branches. Talking about all of this life, including people that are within it, and I'm sure that they are all feeling at this point very secure in the power of this nation. In verse 9, he compares Assyria to a tree in the Garden of Eden, and all of the other trees envying it. When you think back to the Garden of Eden, was there a tree within that garden that God did not plant? There wasn't. And I'm sure as we look across at the nations that have been planted and established in this time, has any nation ever been established apart from God's will? In Assyria, at this point in time, among all of these trees, all these nations that have been established, right now they are the choicest one. But why? why are they so? Well, we see that Ezekiel pictures, again, this tree growing with the nourishment of the water, with the flow of the water. And the question that we ask is, well, who brings the water? It's God who does. God even establishes the point that it is He who established Assyria as a nation in verse 9, and He said, I made it beautiful. And part of this was to fulfill His purpose in using Assyria as a weapon of His judgment at this point. Read about that in Isaiah 10, starting in verse 5. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I will send him against an ungodly nation, and against the people of my wrath I will give him charge, to seize the spoil, to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Assyria is strong, and they are strong, make no doubt about it, but they are only strong because God made it strong. When we look at our lives, all of us who are, I'm sure that pretty much all of us who are within this building, from a physical standpoint, from a material standpoint, we're all looking, you know, pretty good. We're all doing pretty well. You know, we may not be the biggest trees out in the grove. We may not be the most beautiful trees. We may not have the most luxurious life out there, but it's still a blessing of a life. We are, just like this tree of Assyria, we are able to provide. We're able to provide for ourselves. We're able to provide, most of us, for our families. If we have that, we're able to have food and shelter and a roof over our heads. And I'm sure that there are a lot of trees in this world that look at our lives and look at the lives that we live and say, you know what, I wish that I was like them. Why? Why are we where we are today? Is it because of our greatness? Is it because we are so smart? Is it because, you know, our work ethic? These are the reasons that Assyria would say, but what would we say? Why are we where we are at today? If we were to look at a grove of trees, and all of them are different. They have different qualities. There are some that are stronger than others. There are some that are taller than others. But the question is, could any one of them, no matter what strong attribute they may have, could they grow on their own? How silly would it be to think that they could grow on their own? They need the water. They need the sunlight. They need God. All of us within this building, we do have good attributes. We have reasons that we have gotten to where we're at, whether it be our work ethic, whether it be our experience in a job or whatever it may be. But how silly would it be to think that we are where we're at without God? There is a host of men and women throughout the Bible who were very successful people. And yes, they had great attributes. They had strength, they had courage. They had all these great attributes, but the overwhelming thing that all of these men and women had was God. And one of these men, Abraham, he was Abram at this time, said in Genesis 14, after he saved the king of Sodom and his people from an enemy nation, and the king of Sodom wanted to give him all the spoils, he said, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear that you would say, I have made Abraham rich. I have made Abram rich. Abraham didn't want this king of Sodom to be bragging about the wealth that he gave him when he recognizes here that it is God who is the possessor of heaven and earth. It is God who, if we receive anything as small as even a thread or a sandal in this life, it's God who's the possessor of that. And so far, I've just been talking about really just the physical things. So we've been blessed more than that. Yes, we've been watered by physical blessings in this world, but even more than that, we've been watered with the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus. That is way greater than anything physical that we could have received in this life. Even if in this life the only possessions that we ever had were a thread or a sandal, we would still be rich because we have God and we have Christ. And most of us, you know, we do really good at recognizing that. Assyria did not do very good recognizing where they were at and why they were there, as we continue reading in verse 10. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because it towered high and set its top among the clouds, and its heart was proud of its height, I will give it into the hand of a mighty one of the nations. He shall surely deal with it as its wickedness deserves. I have cast it out. Foreigners, the most ruthless of the nations, have cut it down and left it. On the mountains and all of its valleys, its branches have fallen and its boughs have been broken in all of the ravines of the land. And all the peoples of the earth have gone away from its shadow and left it. On its fallen trunk dwell all of the birds of the heavens, and on its branches are all of the beasts of the fields. All this in order so that no trees by the waters may grow up towering height or set their tops among the clouds, and that no trees that drink water may reach up to them in height. For they are all given over to death to the world below among the children of man with those who go down to the pit. Thus says the Lord God, on the day the cedar went down to Sheol, I caused mourning. I closed the deep over it and restrained its rivers, and many waters were stopped. I clothed Lebanon in gloom for it, and all the trees of the field fainted because of it. I made the nations quake at the sound of its fall. When I cast it down to Sheol with those who go down to the pit and all of the trees of Eden, the choice and the best of Lebanon, all that drink water were comforted in the world below. They also went down to Sheol with it, to those who were slain by the sword, yes, those who were its arm, who lived under its shadow and among the nations. So now we see the real big problem with Assyria, with this great tree of Assyria, and it was its pride. It rose itself up, it straightened itself up, it raised itself to the heavens, and this was the very thing that when God was talking about using the Assyrians as his rod of anger, he predicted that he was going to have to destroy them for the very same thing that we're reading here. Back in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 12, therefore it shall come to pass, when the Lord has performed all of his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, that he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his haughty looks. And why is it that Assyria should have been proud in the first place? Well, because of their size, right? Because of their greatness, because of their power, because of their wealth, because of their people. All of these came from God. And now they're facing an enemy nation. Now they're facing, again, comparing them to a tree, they're facing being chopped down, but not by anybody. He says that I'm going to raise a mighty leader. I'm going to raise the ruthless of all the nations. I don't think any one of us would want someone coming after us that was devoid of mercy and compassion. We wouldn't want anybody who is ruthless coming after us, let alone an enemy nation. But that's the very thing that they are facing. And part of it, you think about ruthlessness. And you understand that whenever this nation comes in, they're probably going to be very thorough. And God thoroughly wants to get rid of pride. And he wants this to show, to be an example. He says the reason why I'm doing this is so that the other trees will not raise their branches up into the sky, so they will not raise themselves up. He even says that he is going to cause all of these nations to mourn and to shudder the loss of Assyria. This should serve as an example that God hates pride. Absolutely does. And the question is, will the nations ever listen to that? Will we? If God wants to be so thorough, if he wants to use these men who are ruthless in order to completely remove the pride that is within this nation, that is it's a foreign nation, it's an enemy nation, how much greater should our desire be to remove pride out of us who are God's people? And part of that, pride may show itself like in Assyria. We may be like Assyria, where we just, you know, we stand up and we grow ourselves and we show our branches off and everything like that. But it may not. You know, some of us, probably a lot of us, don't really think that we're the biggest trees, that we're the most beautiful trees. But at least I fall short of this. You can still look at the other trees and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as them. And we can do that with both physical things and spiritual things. And, you know, physically speaking, we are all just at a point where God has brought us to. And physically speaking, once we get to the end of this life, you know, that person that we think that we're better than right now, they may be way above us by the time we get to the end of this life. Spiritually speaking, we all want to be in an even plane whenever we get to the other side of this world. And that even plane, we want it to be with God. He wants humble trees. He wants humble people. Not only was the example that was to be set for the other nations just what comes about of pride, but really is an example of what they were compared to God. All of these nations are going down into Sheol, going down into the pit. They're all going down into the dust in which they all came from. And that's just kind of a reminder to all of us of what we are, right? We're just dust and we're going back to dust, right? Sort of. Let's continue reading in verse 18. Whom are you like thus in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? You shall be brought down with the trees of Eden to the world below. You shall lie among the uncircumcised with those who are slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all of his multitude, declares the Lord God. Ezekiel in this is, and God through Ezekiel, is asking Pharaoh to ask him to kind of put himself to the test, ask himself a question. He presents this picture of Assyria, this great nation that has become huge, that has become prosperous and everything. And he says, how do you compare to that? Do you think if I can take down this large tree, can I not take you down too? And the answer to that question that Pharaoh should have looked at and came to the answer of is, well, yeah, he could. But as we examine ourselves, our self-examination is a little different. We are not Pharaoh, king of Egypt. We're not some idolatrous king. We are, most of us are just people in happy and the surrounding area. But even more than that, we are God's children. We have accepted the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are part of his family, his great family, the church. We are his people. We even though we were created from dust, even though man was created from dust, and even though that's where our bodies are going back to, our souls are not. They are going to be with Christ eternally. God has put in his hands to remove pride from our lives. But instead of doing it like he did for Assyria and sending in all of the ruthless nations in order to completely gouge it out, he did the exact opposite for us. And he sent us the opposite of ruthlessness. He sent us mercy and compassion. He sent us Christ. And now, because of that, because of us joining into this body of Christ, we are the most beautiful trees in the world. We are beautiful, we are strong, we are tall, but so that we do not get prideful in that, we are only a reflection of the greatest tree, Christ Jesus. We are only who we are because of Christ. So, he asked Pharaoh, whom are you thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? And the answer to that for us who are children of God is, we are great because of Christ, because of the tree in which we reflect. He says to Pharaoh, you shall be brought down with the trees of Eden to the world below. You shall lie among the uncircumcised. And that's not true about God's people. We are not just going down to lie down in the pit. We are not with the uncircumcised. We are the circumcision made with hands. We are going to live eternally. He says to Pharaoh, this is Pharaoh and all of his multitude, declares the Lord God. This is it. This is God's people. But we're only where we are because God brought us here. We always need to remember where we came from and who brought us here. If you, this evening, need to take on Christ as your Savior and start turning away from who you were in the past and come up to a new, beautiful life, to be part of God's people, God's grove, God's eternal family, now would be the time to do that while we stand and as we sing.